Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to explore how a platform called RCWeb is trying to, well, radically rethink the internet.
Yeah, completely rebuild it from the ground up, really.
Exactly. Like, okay. Effectively killing the traditional web server as we know it. And we are pulling insights from two core pieces of documentation today, RCWeb apps and RCWeb Live.
Right.
And we're going to use those to understand a totally different kind of architecture where your web router, the one you're using right now, does all the heavy lifting.
It's a huge shift.
It really is. Okay, let's unpack this. Hmm. Because traditional web browsing is basically like being a customer at a restaurant.
Sure.
You sit at a table, you place an order, and the kitchen, which is the web server, right, cooks it up, plates it, and has a waiter bring you the finished page.
Right, that's how it's always worked.
Yeah, that is the ingrained social contract of the internet. But RCWeb, on the other hand, is not running a restaurant.
Not at all.
It is functioning like a massive, highly synchronized neighborhood potluck. There's no central chef.
Just a bunch of guests bringing food.
Exactly. All the guests, meaning you and your individual web browsers, are just passing dishes directly to each other. The only thing the server does in this scenario is provide the physical room where the potluck happens.
It's a complete inversion of the foundational client-server model. I mean, for decades, the rule has been the client requests, the server provides.
Right.
See. And because that central kitchen has to cook for thousands of users simultaneously, companies have to build, you know, massive infrastructure.
Oh, yeah. Giant server farms.
Enormous databases, incredibly power-hungry computational centers. But RCWeb flips that completely on its head.
Wow.
By shifting the workload, like the actual computing and data storage, entirely to the client side, it creates persistent firewall-resistant WebSocket connections directly between users.
So the users are doing the work.
Exactly. Because the central server isn't doing the cooking anymore, the CPU and memory usage drops to phenomenally low levels. We're looking at highly responsive systems running purely on raw JavaScript shared among peers.
But, okay, if there's no central kitchen tracking my order and there's no, like, maitre d' managing the seating chart, how do I actually find my friends in this massive digital potluck?
That's a great question.
Like, how does it not just instantly collapse into total chaos?
Well, it comes down to a highly specific architectural concept they call the virtual room.
Okay, a virtual room.
Yeah. To find your friends, you don't log into a central dashboard or make an account. You simply use a very specific URL structure.
Oh, really? Just a URL?
Just a URL. You generate a link that looks like a four-character ID, a dash, and another four characters.
So like ?r=abcd-efghh.
Exactly that. The unique string isolates your specific group of communicating browsers from everyone else on the platform.
Right.
It creates a temporary, invisible fence around your potluck table.
Got it. And the server that is providing this room, the documentation mentions, it's a custom Java web server, but it's not acting like a traditional one?
No, not at all.
It uses something called virtual threads. So for the listener who maybe isn't a server architect, what makes a virtual thread different from, you know, whatever servers normally use?
That is the secret sauce of how this stays so incredibly lightweight. Imagine a traditional server thread as a dedicated human waiter assigned to a single table.
Okay.
If the restaurant has 10,000 tables, you need 10,000 waiters, taking up a huge amount of physical space and resources.
Which sounds incredibly expensive.
It is. Those are traditional operating system threads. Mm. They're heavy, they're memory intensive. Virtual threads, which were actually recently introduced in Java, are more like microscopic, hyper-efficient task managers.
Oh, I see.
They don't require dedicated OS resources. This allows the RCWeb server to handle thousands upon thousands of concurrent WebSocket connections with almost zero overhead. Because, you know, it's not assigning a heavy waiter to every single user.
Okay, but here is where I need to push back a little, or at least admit some confusion.
Sure, go ahead.
Because the documentation stresses that this Java server is entirely stateless. It does not parse the data, it doesn't process the data, and it absolutely does not store any of it. It just acts as a message broker, blindly passing raw bytes of JavaScript from one person to another.
That is correct.
Wait, if the server doesn't process or store anything, how does an app actually remember what it's doing? It sounds like a postal worker who just blindly throws mail through the slot without even reading the addresses.
What's fascinating here is that the state, you know, the actual memory of what the application is doing, what buttons have been pressed, what text has been typed, lives entirely inside the web browsers of the people using it.
So my Chrome or Safari browser is holding all that memory.
Yes. Every single web browser running an RCWeb app becomes both a client and a server simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
When you make a move, your browser generates a tiny block of executable JavaScript, hands it to that postal worker server, and the server immediately drops it into the command queue of the other browsers in your room.
And then they just run it.
Exactly. Those browsers execute the code on their end, and the application updates for everyone.
It's brilliant because it solves one of the biggest headaches we face online, which is privacy.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if there is no central database storing your chat logs, your file transfers, or your whiteboard drawings well, you can't hack a database if the database simply doesn't exist.
Right. It is entirely private from the server's perspective, yes. However, we do have to remember that because it's peer-to-peer, the data is now fully exposed to the other browsers in that specific room.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, which introduces a different set of security paradigms regarding, you know, who you actually invite into your space.
Yep.
But for complete transparency on how this backend performs, RC Web includes a built-in telemetry app.
What does that do?
It doesn't monitor the content of your messages. It literally can't, but it gives you real-time stats. You get a live ticker showing exact latency in milliseconds to every client, their browser information, and a live counter of how many JavaScript blocks have successfully executed or failed.
Yeah. So if we have all these web browsers doing the heavy lifting, acting as their own mini servers, what happens if two people try to do something at the exact same time?
The classic synchronization problem.
Yeah. Like, if we are all throwing mail at each other, how do they agree on what is real? The documentation breaks the communication into two distinct patterns, starting with the symmetric pattern.
Right. The symmetric pattern is all about collaboration, where multiple users are sharing state as equals to form a decentralized app.
Okay.
But to prevent the chaos you just mentioned, they rely on some very clever mechanics.
Well,
the RC Web chat app, which uses WebRTC mesh networking.
Right. And just to clarify for the listener, a standard network routes all messages through a central hub. A mesh network is more like a spider web, where every device connects directly to every other device in the room.
Correct. That creates zero delay messaging. But to your point about two people acting at once, consider the shared Notepad app.
Oh, the collaborative text editor.
Yeah. If you and I are typing in the same paragraph at the exact same millisecond, the system uses operational transformation, or OT mechanics.
Explain how that works, because usually if two people try to edit a local file simultaneously, it just corrupts the file or overwrites one person's work.
Right.
It's like two people trying to steer a car at the same time. It usually ends in a crash.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens normally. Operational transformation acts like a microscopic traffic cop that lives in the code.
A traffic cop. Okay.
If you type the letter A at position 5, and I type the letter B at position 5, the OT algorithm instantly calculates who initiated the action a fraction of a millisecond earlier.
Wow, okay.
Then it shifts the position of the second action to position 6 and merges the input smoothly across all browsers. It tracks cursors and text edits in real time, ensuring we don't overwrite each other.
And all of this happens without a central document server mediating the conflict.
Completely without a central server.
That's wild. And it's not just text. They have a shared drums app, like a real-time 16-step music sequencer we could play together, and a collaborative whiteboard.
Yep.
But the feature that really stopped me in my tracks was shared files.
Oh, the file sharing is incredible.
So let me get this straight. If I want to send you a 4 gigabyte video, it never goes to a cloud server.
Never.
It just flies straight from my browser to yours, and if I close my laptop, the video just vanishes from the web.
It bypasses traditional central storage entirely. When you share a file, RC Web chunks the data into tiny pieces and reassembles it automatically on the receiver's end using those peer-to-peer connections.
That's amazing.
Think about the friction this eliminates. We are constantly hitting file size limits on email attachments or, you know, being forced to pay monthly subscriptions for cloud storage just to move a large file from point A to point B.
In the documentation notes, you don't even have to wait for the whole 4 gigabyte file to transfer.
No, you don't.
You can actually stream and seek within a massive video file directly from another user's browser.
That is an absolute masterclass in JavaScript utilization. When you scrub to the middle of the video timeline, your browser isn't downloading the first half of the movie.
Right.
It sends a tiny JavaScript request to the sender's browser saying, give me the media data starting at timestamp 45.00.
Oh, wow.
The sender's browser slices out that exact byte range and fires it back. It is wildly efficient. And more importantly, it leaves zero digital footprint. The second you and I close our tabs, the room evaporates. The data is gone forever.
Okay, so that's the symmetric pattern. Everyone is an equal participant. But then we have the asymmetric pattern, which is basically remote control and broadcasting.
Right.
This is where we aren't equals. One browser controls the other.
Exactly. One device acts as the commander and the other acts as the canvas. This is usually like a smartphone controlling a larger display, like a smart TV or laptop monitor.
Okay.
You can use your phone to push colors, HTML, or even full WebRTC camera and screen streams to that main display.
The examples they give are fascinating. There's a digital art app called Graffiti where your phone literally becomes a digital spray can.
Yeah, that one is really fun.
You wave your phone around and it paints on the shared main screen. Or the 3D viewer, where you load a high fidelity 3D model on your monitor and you use your phone's internal gyroscope to rotate and inspect the model just by tilting your wrist.
It is translating the physical tilt of your phone, the pitch, yaw, and roll data from the hardware sensors into raw JavaScript.
That's so
It
cool.
passes it through that stateless Java server in milliseconds and rotates the model on the canvas screen with zero noticeable lag.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because that asymmetric pattern, using your phone to control a main screen using hardware sensors, it turns out that is the exact perfect recipe for instantly transforming any room into a multiplayer arcade.
Oh, absolutely. It capitalizes on the fact that every single person walking around today already has a highly sophisticated smart controller in their pocket.
The documentation outlines how simple it is. You just walk up to a shared screen, scan a QR code on that screen, and your phone seamlessly drops into the virtual room.
Boom, you're in.
Your phone screen instantly becomes a dedicated smart controller with digital buttons, and you're playing. They highlight scaled-up, massive multiplayer versions of the classics: Snake Pro, Flappy Birds, Tetris, Bomberman, Pac-Man.
Right, all the hits.
But the standout example they focus on is the evolution of a game called Space War.
The Space War progression is incredibly important because it demonstrates the system's flexibility. It starts in the documentation as a very basic 2D application. It just manipulates simple document object model or DOM elements, basically just moving flat images around a web page. But they show it evolving step by step into a fully 3D wave defense game.
Wait, really? Just in the browser?
Yes. It taps into a library called 3.js, which basically tells your web browser how to bypass standard rendering and harness your device's actual graphics card.
Oh, what?
It becomes a visually stunning hardware-accelerated game. And through all of that evolution, the RC web server infrastructure doesn't change a bit. It's still just the invisible maître de passing JavaScript.
And they take it further than just pressing digital buttons on your touchscreen. They have games like Racer, Tilt Maze, and Flight.
Yes.
You don't need a bulky, expensive gaming console. You just scan a code, and suddenly your smartphone is an analog steering wheel or a full six-axis flight yoke.
It's incredible.
That is pure sci-fi to me. You just twist your phone in the air, the gyroscope registers the movement, and the plane on the monitor banks left.
It is a phenomenal party trick, but it also scales to incredibly complex social games. The documentation outlines party and tabletop games built on this exact same architecture.
Oh, right. Draw and guess, symbol snap, and my personal favorite, dominoes.
Dominoes is great.
The Dominoes app actually supports up to 12 players simultaneously. Everyone holds their own tiles on their private smartphone screen, and when you swipe to play a piece, it animates beautifully onto the shared main screen in the center of the room.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, think about what this means for public spaces, museums, waiting rooms, or even digital billboards.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, the documentation specifically mentions digital signage platforms like Target R. Right now, running complex interactive digital signage requires expensive, heavy Android media players and powerful localized servers. RC Web is positioned to replace all of that hardware with simple, lightweight web browsers. Any public screen goes from being a passive viewing experience to an interactive multi-user engagement.
And the best part is there are absolutely no app downloads required, which is a huge point.
And a heck of.
These RC web apps are designed as progressive web apps or PWAs, meaning if you do want to keep one, you can just install it directly to your home screen. No app store, no 500 megabyte download file taking up space. It just lives as a lightweight shortcut on your phone that opens a browser window without the address bar.
It completely removes user friction. I mean, you aren't asking a customer to commit to downloading a massive bloated application just to play a 2-minute trivia game or interact with a display in a retail store.
Now, creating all these different 3D games and collaborative whiteboards and physics-based flight simulators, it sounds incredibly difficult to code.
It certainly can be.
Right. If I'm a developer, I'm thinking about the absolute nightmare of managing game state across 12 different devices.
Oh, yeah.
But this is where the documentation drops the biggest bombshell of the entire deep dive. RC Web's unique architecture has accidentally created the absolute perfect ecosystem for AI-generated code.
It is arguably the ultimate sandbox for large language models.
Yeah.
And it comes down entirely to the environment where this code is running, and more importantly, what is missing from that environment.
The docs state that most of the apps in the RC Web ecosystem are actually AI generated. And the reason AI is so good at building them is because the logic lives entirely on the client side, using vanilla JavaScript and static HTML. They call it zero dependency hell.
To understand why that matters, you have to look at how modern web development usually works.
Okay.
If you are building a standard application, you rely on complex ecosystems. Things like NPM packages, webpack configurations, or heavy front-end frameworks like React or Angular.
Right. Lots of moving parts.
It's like building a house by ordering pre-built rooms from 1,000 different factories.
Yeah.
If one factory changes a single screw, your entire house collapses.
That sounds super fragile.
It is. When an AI tries to write a complex, full-stack application, these layered environments are where hallucinations thrive. It guesses the wrong version number of a dependency, and the whole project breaks.
But RC Web strips all of that away. It is just raw lumber, raw JavaScript, and HTML. There are no back-end frameworks for the LLM to hallucinate.
Exactly. And because the server is just that agnostic message broker we talked about, we achieve what the documentation calls absolute server safety.
So, what does this all mean? Let me make sure I have this straight. If I ask an AI to code me a brand new, highly complex RC Web multiplayer game,
Yeah.
and the AI totally loses its mind and writes absolute garbage code, the main Java server literally doesn't care.
It doesn't care at all.
It just delivers the garbage, the app breaks on my specific screen, and the main server system just keeps humming along for everyone else.
This raises an important question about the future of how we build software. And your assessment is completely accurate. An LLM cannot write a virus or an infinite broken loop that takes down the back-end infrastructure.
Because it's not running in the back end.
Right. Because the server isn't executing the code, your browser is.
If you've ever tried to build a simple app with an AI, you know the nightmare of it hallucinating a wrong version of React, and suddenly your whole screen is just red error
Oh, it's
text,
the worst.
and you're digging through server logs for hours trying to find the broken link. What you're saying is RC Web sidesteps that entire headache. The iteration and debugging process is basically instant.
It is an entirely isolated debugging loop. If the AI makes a mistake in an RC web app, the execution error is contained completely within your specific browser's developer console.
Oh, I see.
You don't restart a server. You simply copy the stack trace error from your browser, feed it back to the AI, and say, "Fix this."
That is so simple.
The LLM generates the corrected raw JavaScript. You save the static file, and you hit refresh in your browser. You test it instantly.
It democratizes software development in a very real way. You are removing the fragile, complicated deployment pipelines. Anyone with an idea can use an AI to spin up a custom, real-time multiplayer application in seconds simply by serving static web files into a virtual room. It is incredibly empowering.
It shifts the power dynamic of creation. You don't need a team of back-end engineers to build a collaborative tool anymore. You just need a browser and an idea.
Okay, let's bring this all together. We have been exploring how RC Web uses a radically simple, stateless Java server to pass raw JavaScript back and forth, creating these virtual rooms where our web browsers act as both the client and the server.
That's the core of it.
We have seen how this architecture powers everything from secure peer-to-peer 4K file streaming and operational transformation whiteboards to turning your smartphone into a six-axis flight controller for massive 12-player dominoes and arcade games.
It's a huge range of applications.
And, maybe most importantly, how it provides an unbreakable, friction-free sandbox for AI-generated code.
And for you listening, think about how this applies to your daily digital life. If you are tired of bloated applications constantly draining your device's memory,
Oh, totally.
or you are worried about your private data living forever on some mega corporation's cloud servers, or you just want to build your own tools without spending weeks learning server deployment,
RC Web offers a glimpse into a much lighter, faster, and significantly more private internet.
It changes the whole paradigm, which leaves me with one final thought, kind of going back to that potluck analogy where everyone just cleans up and goes home at the end of the night.
If our web browsers are now powerful enough to act as their own servers, and AI can instantly generate the exact JavaScript we need to interact with each other, are we witnessing the beginning of the end for permanent downloaded software?
That's a huge question.
Right. Could the future just be ephemeral, custom-made apps that are generated solely for the exact moment you and your friends need them, only to vanish without a trace the second you close the tab?